And I got the email about this opportunity, and so I jumped on it. So thank
Good.
You.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Thank you for calling. Okay, you are the Troy Flint, the California School Board Association.
That's right.
Okay.
And you may know this, but we represent just about every school district and all the county offices of education in the state. More than 99% of all of the students in California public schools are in one of our member districts.
Okay, so the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District may be there?
I would definitely think so. I would have to check our roster, but let me text our membership director. All right. I just texted him. He's usually pretty responsive, so hopefully he gets back to me.
Sure. Okay. Well, according to what I have in front of me, the Governor Newsom may sign a bill today that will possibly open up the school districts.
So it's sort of a mixed bag. The governor did, in fact, sign a bill that the legislature put together somewhat hurriedly and passed yesterday. The intent of that bill is to encourage school districts to reopen for in-person instruction, at least at the elementary level, by April 1st, and to add other grades afterward as they move from the more severe tiers of COVID spread from purple into red. And that will affect districts such as Klamath Trinity Joint USD, and it applies to all the districts in the state if they are going to go after those funds. It's a grant program. It's not a mandate. So it doesn't swing open the doors in every district in California. But what it does do is give those districts where the community members, the parents, have a strong consensus toward going back, and where the school is prepared to welcome students back safely, they have the opportunity to apply for this grant program and to receive funding to help support their efforts to welcome kids back to school safely.
Oh, okay. That explains it a little more detail than what I have here in front of me. So appreciate that. We have a COVID-19 update program that our tribal chairman hosts some three times a week. If needed, he'll do it daily. But so far, we've cut back to as few as two times a week. And today, we added the third day because the situation seemed to be warranted. So he had the superintendent of our school district in the studio today.
Oh, great!
And she was talking about, and this is when, and while that show is going, then I received this email. And so, but I wasn't able to bring it to them, their attention. But what she was saying is that the school district is preparing. They're going through the dry runs and the staging of how they would do it if they did open. The school district is coordinating with our own Office of Emergency Services to weigh in on the decision on how to return students back to the campuses, if at all. And the chairman thinks it may not happen until next fall. But this one, what you're saying now is it's a grant is available if school districts choose to by April 1st.
Yes. So a little bit more detail about that. The goal is to start getting students, focusing on younger students, and high-need students from low-income families, English language learners, students with disabilities, foster youth, and homeless youth. The way the program is structured, it's set up to get those students back first, along with the elementary school students, and then also to add on secondary students as the risk of COVID-19 decreases, the community spread in a community decreases. And so you get funds for April 1st, but you are docked one day for 1% of the total allotment for each day after April 1st in which you don't have students back in the classroom. That continues every day until May 15th, at which time, if you're not offering in-person instruction, you would forfeit the entire grant. The money would go back to the state.
So what is the reasoning or the of the legislature to offer this under what terms, knowing that California's and a lot of the communities are, or a lot of the counties are experiencing high levels of virus, and it seems that I'm just wondering, what is the confident level that it would be a good decision to do?
So I think different legislators, different administrators have different incentives and different reasons for doing this. But I think there's been a lot of pressure nationally and here in California to get kids back to school for different reasons. There is science research which shows that you can open schools safely if you can implement a series of safety measures with fidelity. That is a big if, because an open question is whether all school districts have the resources and the capacity to implement those safety measures in a way that they're going to be effective. That's something that is holding up negotiations at the local level. And this bill tries to address that to a certain extent by providing some funding and then also some support from the state level. You have parents, you have people in the media, you have op-eds from people who are really trying to urge students to get back to school and for districts to resume in-person instruction. And you have people on the other side who feel that it's not safe just yet. It doesn't make sense to come back this late in the school year when you have variants out there, or you have communities, certain zip codes within the state that still have high rates of relatively high rates of COVID spread that may not reflect what the county or the region is doing overall. And I think that's why it's better that this program is discretionary. But certainly there are some concerns about the program and whether it really does what it says it's going to do. Because as you mentioned, a big factor in whether people feel like it's safe for students to go back to school depends on what's happening in their local area and their definition of what's safe. And people disagree on that. One thing you've started to see in the last couple months is a lot more schools have been welcoming students back for in-person instruction. And I should point out, there are schools, not the big districts generally, but there are schools that have been open continuously since October. Right now, today, as we speak, about 15% of students in California are getting in-person instruction. And that number has been increasing rapidly over the past month or so. And you also see a lot of districts, even if they haven't reopened yet, they've set a date by which they will resume in-person instruction. And the reason why that's happening is not because of anything the legislature has done. It's because in a lot of areas, not all of the state, the rate of spread has decreased. So that alleviates people's concern to some extent. And most importantly, you've started to see people develop faith in vaccinations. You've started to see educators get vaccinations. And if they haven't gotten vaccination, most teachers are starting to get, or a large percentage of teachers are starting to get scheduled for vaccines. So that is what really has changed things. And it's unfortunate it's come this late, because if the state had prioritized educator vaccines, as we beg them to do, as many other people and organizations beg them to do at the outset of the process, we would have been a lot further along having teachers vaccinated, which would have removed the major obstacle and stumbling block to getting kids back in class. And we might not have had to go through some of these other hoops that we're doing now.
So it's possible that we could have in-person instructions again. And would you anticipate that this would be a full classroom or partial classrooms?
So the guidance, requires or suggests, 6 feet between desk. That's a constraint for a lot of districts that don't have space. Some districts, there's some wiggle room in there, and some districts are using a 4-foot standard, and it has to be determined whether or not that is still acceptable, but it's looking like that provides a little bit more leeway there. So there are a lot of concerns that districts have to face. Do you have the facility, meaning can you use space sufficiently to deter the spread? do you have confidence that your students and staff will be able to comply with the masking mandates, the sanitation mandates? Do you have the resources to do the cleaning and the other things that need to be done? Do you have the resources to do the testing? And the state is providing some money for that and some discounted testing. All these facilities and logistical and public health major type concerns are what this bill is designed to address. Whether that will be sufficient is one question. And another question is, if you're a district in an area that has really high community spread, and your community just doesn't, your parents don't feel comfortable on the whole sending their kids back, because this is a grant program, you're not receiving these funds. So should you be penalized for that? That's an issue that we and other people have. The state tried to address that late on Wednesday night, right before the bill was passed, earlier this week, the state tried to prioritize districts, zip codes, 400 zip codes throughout the state that are primarily low income to give them higher priority in the vaccination distribution process. So that's one way to address those concerns about certain neighborhoods within a larger district or certain areas of the state where they feel that although the overall picture in California is improving, their local picture is not as rosy and people are still concerned. So there are a lot of issues with this bill. It's certainly an improvement, a step ahead of the previous legislation that was submitted and ultimately failed, but it's far from perfect, and districts are going to have a lot of questions. And in the end, what makes districts reopen their doors is not going to be this piece of legislation. It's going to be the continued progress against community spread of COVID-19 and the increasing rate of teacher vaccinations. It's the external factors, not what the legislature is doing, that's truly impactful.
And, well, that's what I was thinking as well. We have a very small community, but we're very tight. We're confined in a smaller area as well. We live in a valley. There's a lot of families that are very close to one another. And physically and emotionally, and we're wondering, if we were to open the schools even to a smaller degree of student to teacher ratio, is that still safe? Because it could. We have our COVID number percentage is really low, probably lower than any other community in California, and that is because we have been exercising extreme measures on covering and social distancing and making sure businesses are not open and having a very high degree of regulations within our community, because while we're a tribal government, so we're using our sovereign rights to exercise stronger measures, and it has been working for us, and to open the schools, we're kind of thinking maybe that would not be a good thing. But then we do also need to have those schools open as well, because our broadband system is not up and running. We are serviced by Wi-Fi yet, so we're on the other side of the divide, and it's been very difficult for us in this time. And I'm looking at this incentive of $6.6 billion in statewide revenue that isn't a grant. You know, we'd have to apply for that, and we'd have to be approved for that. That's tempting as well. That's something that we have to balance. And I'm just don't know. I can't speak for our community or our parents or our school district or our government. It looks like an opportunity that we that is in front of us that we need to really digest, dissect, and make a decision.
Yeah, well, first I would applaud the caution and the diligence that your community has shown in trying to contain the spread of the virus. That is admirable. as far as the safety question, I think it really needs to be a community decision because, yes, there is prevailing research which suggests that community spread is very low in terms of what opening a school does to the overall rate of the virus in the community. That's what the research says now. Again, it's a fluid situation. You know, there are variants popping up elsewhere. We haven't had all schools open. You know, it's a sample. But there, as I mentioned, there have been schools that have been open since October, larger schools. For instance, there's a district in the Napa Valley. We did a webinar with them about a month ago, 17,000 students. Contrary to what some people think of when they think of wine country, has a majority of low-income students and a large percentage of English learners. And they have been open. They've had a couple cases, and I believe those cases were not attributable to the school. It was community spread. It was contracted elsewhere. So that's just one example of schools that have been able to do it. But ultimately, when you're talking about students, when you're talking about children, the most precious asset that we have, the individual parent and the community at large needs to feel comfortable with the decision. And we represent about 1,000 districts across California, and we have people all over the map, districts that probably won't open this year at all, the school year, districts that have been open since October, districts that have opened just recently in the last month, districts that are planning to open in the next month, and districts that are doing some sort of hybrid model where you have, you know, a couple of days a week in class, a couple of days a week online, or you split your school into cohorts and a couple kids go 2 days, another cohort goes the other couple days, and then you have a day where they're all online or something like that. So there's really a mix of approaches which reflect the varying views that communities have throughout the state.
Well, what if a school district does go along with this approach of and applying for these funds that are available, but then they find that it wasn't the right decision and their numbers go up? Has the legislature thought about that?
There's two cases at a school under this plan, it triggers an automatic review of the safety team at the California Department of Public Health, and then they would come down, presumably, and investigate and make a decision based on their assessment of the situation. But typically, schools have closed when you've had more than one or two cases.
Okay. Well, I saw this bulletin and I thought, wow, I need to interview you and find out, well, what's the rest of the story? And so I really appreciate your comments here.
Absolutely. Keep me in mind anytime you want to talk about education issues.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much.
Sure. You have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye.